Hi everyone. So here is a short introduction to our series on the God story, which takes us from the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis, all the way to the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation. So the Bible isn't in fact one book, but it's a library of many books, 66 books in all, over 40 writers, and it was written between 1,500 and 2,000 years it took from the first book being written to the final. So over a long period of time. The Bible's divided into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament simply means agreement. So there is an old agreement between God and human beings and a new agreement. So there's some of the information you need. It wasn't written even in one language, but two. The Old Testament was written written in Hebrew, and the New Testament in Greek with sections in Aramaic, which was Jesus's mother tongue. So some of the Gospels were written in Aramaic, but most of the letters were written in Greek. So the way you read any book depends on what kind of book you think it is. If it's a book of poetry, you know, you can pick it up and just read a poem at random anywhere in the book. But if you're picking up a book that is a novel, you don't read that in the same way that you read a dictionary, for example. In a novel, every sentence has to be understood in the light of the whole story. So I opened a random murder mystery novel and came across the sentence, "Yes, it's a lucky thing for me that the body turned up when it did." Now, if that's all I've ever read from that book, I have very little idea of what it is about apart from probably a murder. I don't know who is speaking. I don't know whose is the dead body. And if I'm to understand this story, then obviously I need to know what happened before and then learn what happens afterwards. Well, it's exactly the same with the Bible. To understand it well, it's really helpful to have some idea of the context in which every book, chapter, and sentence comes. You need to know what went before and what came after. With the exception of the book of Proverbs, which is in the middle-ish and is literally a book of Proverbs, the Bible does not contain isolated sayings. So I'd be very wary about dipping into it at random and extracting an individual verse without any regard for understanding its context. What went before? What went after? When was it written? Who wrote it? Who was it written for? So, having said all of that, there is one big unifying theme to the Bible, and the point of our Big Book Challenge series over the next few months is to help us get our heads around that big unifying theme, which is God's people in God's place living under God's rule. The whole story is about God wanting to make people, wanting to make humankind into a family of people, and wanting them to be in peace and harmony in one place under his rule and living in his way and knowing him. So that's the whole unifying theme. God's people in God's place living under God's rule. And so when we think about God's place, we often use the phrase the kingdom of God, which is not actually a place. It's a sort of, I guess our closest idea would be an alternative reality. So, who were these 40 people that were used to write the Bible? Well, some of them were prophets. They were poets. Some were priests. Some were kings. Some were fishermen. Some were shepherds. And there were men and there were women, although the women are not named. We describe the Bible, or the Bible describes itself as being God-breathed, which means it's Holy Spirit-inspired, the Holy Spirit being part of God. Now, what I mean by that is not that the Holy Spirit just came over these individuals and took over their pens and their brains and dictated what they had to write, and so, zap, they went into some kind of trance and, you know, 5 hours later they looked up and, oh, look, would you believe it, I've just written 1 Chronicles. It probably wasn't at all like that. But it was written by individuals who had learned to listen to God. And if we listen to what they've written, we'll find this single unifying theme, which is quite extraordinary given all the different types of writings that there are. Because there's history, there's poetry, there's letters, and human beings were all over that. So the simple truth is that individuals have their fingerprints and their characters and their personalities in the writing of the Bible, but they were guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, what can reading the Bible do for you? Well, it will stir up faith. If you read God's word, it can direct you into knowing God's truth, which can then protect you from either being harmed or doing harm. The simple truth is, though, that many faithful Christians don't actually read their Bible. They do say they want to hear God's voice and they want to be guided by God, but actually they feel a bit overwhelmed by this enormous book. So we hope this series is going to help us make a start. And so the first challenge I'm going to be giving to all of us is to actually pick up our Bibles and read it. Many, many times God has spoken to Christians, and I would include myself in that, through the reading of his word. If I need wisdom or guidance, I'm not meant to just sit around waiting for a sign in the sky. It's always a good idea to pick up my Bible and read it. So let's pick up our Bibles in these next few weeks with a sense of awe and a sense of wonder. God, what might you say to me today? Maybe you want to commit to writing down a line that you've read and commit it to memory. Perhaps if you feel that your Bible is not easy to understand or is perhaps too familiar, try reading a new version. Might help you understand it better. There's no such thing as too familiar, but we can become a bit indifferent to the message of the Bible if we've heard the same words over and over again. So, kind of in the middle of the story, to go back to those people who were writing it, there were human writers who did write all of these books. These writers were ordinary people holding ordinary pens, thinking ordinary thoughts. They were not in a trance, but somehow God breathed through everything they recorded and everything they wrote, and it has all been set down into this one big book. By the time Jesus arrived at the hinge of history, so going from before Christ to Anno Domini AD, by the time Jesus arrived, the Old Testament scriptures had been collated, put together, and Jesus would have grown up being taught all of the first 5 books of the Bible, the books of the law of Moses, and the prophets and the Psalms. And as a young boy, he would have been encouraged to have learnt huge chunks by heart. After Jesus' life, the 4 gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, wrote their accounts of Jesus' life, each one from a slightly different perspective. And also each one for a slightly different audience. So Matthew is written for the Jewish audience. There's lots of quotations from the Old Testament. Mark is the shortest gospel and was kind of written in a hurry on the run. Mark is always in a hurry, and it's only 16 chapters long. And Mark was the first gospel to be written. Luke was written by a Gentile doctor, that means a non-Jew. And Luke, as a doctor, took particular interests in the healing miracles, and he also has the most stories about women. John's Gospel was the last one to be written, and the only word I can think of it is cosmic, because John is a poet. He uses metaphors. He has such big ideas about light and spirit and truth. And so if you like poetry and you love big ideas, John is the gospel for you. All written about the same story of Jesus and his life, and a huge chunk of each gospel is about specifically Jesus's death and resurrection. So after the gospels, we get the letters from the early leaders of the Christian church to the first believers, and then in about the third century after Jesus, the early church leaders kind of met to be editors, to review all the available writings about Jesus, of which there were many, many more than we have in our Bible. But these early church fathers decided what was authentic and what was true and what was not. And they rejected some rather fanciful accounts of Jesus's childhood and verified as trustworthy the accounts that we have today. So that's where we get our New Testament from. It came together about 300 AD. So the whole book, Old Testament and New Testament, is one big story. It's the story of God's dealings with human beings. The whole of life is in there. Depressed prophets, despairing psalmists, frustrated leaders, flawed people. I mean, if you read Genesis, it's worse than EastEnders. Okay, don't be shocked. God is not telling us about these people's complicated and messy lives because they are models of behavior. He is telling us about his dealings with these people with messy and complicated lives because he loves people who have messy and complicated lives, and he does not worry about working with those people. So the story of the Bible is that God is consistent in his love and relentless in pursuit of the hearts of humans. We are also in this story. Christians today come between the end of the letters and Revelation, which is the final book of the Bible and speaks about what is yet to come. So the whole of Christendom has a place in the Bible. All Christians all around the world, we are not mentioned specifically, but we are mentioned in anticipation, and that's our place in the story. So my challenges to everyone were to go away and research one book of the Bible. If you were with us last Sunday, you might have been given a book to research. If you think your brain can take it to learn all 66 books, the names of them all, just the names, not the actual books, to learn them all in order, and also to read, either read your own Bible or read the book, The God Story, that we are following for the next 12 weeks. So I hope that helps. God bless.